We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
We are building a tremendous wall right now. We're renovating vast areas of wall that's essentially collapsed, but it's good if you renovate. You save a lot of money by renovating it. And we're taking down wall and putting up new wall. Some areas you can renovate. But we'll have over 400 miles of wall built by the end of next year, which is very quick. It's rapidly approaching.
Trump here. We're making Mexico great again.
How about that? Hey, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. That was the first part of that was the president speaking last night to Sean Hannity. I made up the second part. But anyway, lots of fun there. And the president is speaking out, defending what's going on the border and talking about fundraising and talking about, the economy and trade and all that. Now he's probably going to have to shift his attention to what's going on in Iran. We're going to talk about all of that and more this morning. Very excited to have a couple of big-time guests in the studio this morning. J.J. Carafano, Hans von Spakovsky, both from the Heritage Foundation, are live in studio. Gentlemen, good morning.
And we'll be singing.
Not me.
You're not singing? Come on, you got to get
in our band.
We've got an air band here that's going. I'm drums. Mark plays guitar. Denise, what do you do?
I don't know.
You air sing.
She sings.
I can play stereo.
Perfect. Can you? Oh, nice. I like it. How was your trip, guys? Good?
Yeah, no, we didn't have any problem. We were same plane, didn't have any problems. Got here. Jim didn't cause any commotions on the aircraft.
That is amazing.
A miracle.
That is amazing, yeah. So we're excited. They're in town tonight for our speaker series out at Lindenwood University, and the place is large. We've hundreds of tickets are spoken for, but you can still get a seat tonight. Doors open at 6:30, events at 7 o'clock, and it's not like there's any shortage of things to discuss, right?
Well, no. And in particular, the Supreme Court called a special day today to release more decisions. So we have no idea what's coming out, but we may have a lot of news starting at 10 o'clock today.
That's true. And because they've got, close to 20 decisions they haven't released yet? Am I correct on that number?
That's right, including probably the biggest case they have, which is, can the Trump administration put a citizenship question on the U.S. Census?
Yeah, I'm hoping that's one that comes out today because it'll be fodder for our conversation tonight, that's for sure.
And you know why that's, that's a really big deal.
It is.
And Hans should explain that because he's the smart guy. People just think, what's the big deal here? You're a citizen. Why are people fighting over this? And they don't realize what's at stake.
Money.
A lot of money in federal programs that get distributed to states. But look, what are we in the middle of and what we've been in the middle of for years? This huge debate in this country about immigration policy. Well, if you want to have an informed debate, don't you want to have accurate data on the number of non-citizens in the country? But the folks who file these lawsuits, they don't want that. They don't want us to really know how many non-citizens there are in the country. Makes you think.
Oh, and they're afraid, clearly, that if somebody sees that on there and they check it, somebody's going to figure out who they are or where they are, or whatever the case may be. So they're afraid a lot of people won't check it, and then they could lose a congressional district or two in California if those numbers drop, right?
Well, yeah, they do apportionment after redistricting, right, where they determine how many representatives each state has.
Yeah.
If you took out illegal aliens from apportionment, California would probably lose 5 or 6 congressional seats.
Wow.
Because they have the largest population of illegal aliens in the country.
Well,
this is an issue we've been talking about, this whole issue of transparency, and which is, why do they want to hide the data? Why can't I go to a website on a sanctuary city and see the data about how many illegal alien criminals have been incarcerated? Why do they not want people to just know the facts? It's not just on the citizenship issue. There's a whole range of things where we just don't have access to accurate data And because people don't want it, right? They just want to say it's not a problem. And the reason why it's not a problem is there's no data that says it's a problem. And the reason why there's no data that says it's a problem is they don't want to give you the data.
We don't want to collect it. Yeah.
Right.
It's very strange. And well, hopefully we'll get, that's breaking news. I did not know they'd schedule that. So it's good good to hear, Hans. Thank you. You know, the other big issue going on today, obviously, Jim is in Iran, where they've shot down an American drone.
Yes.
I think you and I talked about this last week, that you didn't think at the time this was probably headed to any sort of armed conflict. We may be on the verge of that now, right?
I don't think so? I don't think so, but I do have a message for Tehran, because I know many of them listen to your show.
Thank you.
I know all the Ayatollah and like all the mullahs. We know that. It's a fact. The CIA told me that that is true. You guys, this is going on your bill. No, this
180 million.
Yeah,
is that what
like,
those cost?
Like 100, yeah. Yeah, something 130, 180 million dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about the size of a commercial airliner. So it's a big play. Actually, to me, the real news is, why did that happen? We have the capability to protect those assets, and not by shooting things, but you have to turn a radar on to find it. You can jam those radars.
Sure.
Not really sure why we didn't protect that asset better. But look, we're in the Gulf for one reason right now with the military forces, and that's to keep the waterways open, and we can do that. I think the U.S. is going to stay focused on that mission, and I also think what's really, really important is the more the Iranians do this, the more the international community really has to stand up and recognize that Iran is the real problem here. So I think the strategy is exactly right. The U.S. should just keep doing what it's doing, and I think the Iranians and aren't any more interested in escalating the conflict than we are. They're looking for things to do to be annoying and not do that, and this was one of them. I think we should not let them do that to begin with, but I think now it's focus on the mission. I think that's what we'll do.
Well, now that you've told everybody that the Ayatollahs listen, we were trying to suppress that data. We didn't want that to get out there.
They love you.
I tell you what, we got to get to a quick break, guys. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation, from one of their legal fellows there, and J.J. Carafano with us this morning from Heritage as well.
I can talk real loud because Hillary's in the next room. She won't let me be on the phone. I don't know why. Anyway, listen, you got to ease up on me. You got to ease up on Hill. She listens to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and she keeps throwing stuff all around the room like a crazy woman. She burned down our little house. I don't know if you heard about it. It's all because of you. Good going. All my good cigars were in that house. You're a real piece of...
End of message.
Just checking the voicemail this morning.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Bill Clinton just occasionally phones in. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the studio here with Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation and Jim Carafano from Heritage, both in town to help us sort things out tonight over at Lindenwood University. All the details on the website. Still tickets available if you want to come. And we've made sure this was for free because we want the maximum number of people to be able to come out and enjoy
this. And because nobody would pay to come
well,
see
Well, I didn't want to bring that up.
You said it, not us, right?
We believe in free markets.
Exactly. Yeah, free markets.
There was a guy downstairs scalping tickets for this tonight.
Was there?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, yeah. It's up like $8.95.
I sold him all of those for like $5 a piece. Oh. So he's turning a little profit.
You know, I don't know how many years that we've been doing this, but
oh my gosh,
you get a great group of people. That's a super smart audience that have awesome questions and stuff. I think sometimes we learn as much as, you know, as we talk. So it's just a great, it's what they used to do when we didn't have, you know, fireplaces. I mean, you know, everybody would come to the church and they would sit and they would talk about issues and share things like a real community. It's an awesome event. Like, kudos to you guys for doing this.
Yeah, we're just thrilled you guys could be part of it. That's for sure. Yeah. Let me get to the phones here because we got some folks who clearly are planning to be there tonight. Shane, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, it's an honor to speak with you, Mr. Cox.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Well, you know, I have my VIP tickets for the Scheidegger Center tonight, and I would like to ask you, okay, the first thing I ever won on a radio station was the inauguration T-shirt.
That, I remember those. Yeah. There's still some of those floating around.
Cool.
Well, I have one, and would you sign it tonight?
Oh, wow. You know, that's going to make the price of that go through the roof. Are you going to be comfortable wearing it after that?
Oh, I would be absolutely comfortable wearing that. And I would like Mr. Von Spakovsky was to sign it.
Absolutely.
Carabano, wow, that was a
all
great
the ladies from the... If the ladies are going to be there, I would love for them to sign it.
Yeah, Mark is texting, note to self, learn how to write.
Well, the problem is after Han signs his last name, there may not be much room on that.
Well, there's plenty of room on the front. Don't sign the back. Because remember, it's got all the Republican presidents on there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Shane, you bring the shirt, and I'll sign it for you, I promise.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Yeah, I will be there early, and I'm going to be bringing my 13-year-old son.
Oh, awesome!
Oh, great.
Because it's not too early to get them involved, right?
You got to bring them up right. That's where the schools aren't going to do it for you. That's for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks. We'll see you tonight.
See you tonight, Mark.
All right. Yep. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. We'll see you out there this evening. Yeah, it's good. You know, he's going to bring his kid, and that says something about our audience as well. I think that's fantastic. They're wanting to make sure they're brought up right. Hans was talking about this in the break, but like the late night, you can't sit and enjoy a late night talk show anymore without it being so over politicized. Mm-hmm. And it used to not be that way. You were mentioning that you are watching reruns of the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show.
You know, I live right outside of Washington, D.C., and there's one local cable channel every night at 10 o'clock. I have an alternative. They show an old episode of the Johnny Carson Show, and it's so much more pleasant and enjoyable. Not just Johnny Carson's jokes and discussions, which are much better than any of the current hosts, but they actually have guests that are a lot classier than today's Hollywood.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Yeah, and who are funny and aren't all, you know. I remember watching an interview he did on with Ronald Reagan one time back in the 60s. You know, he'd been governor of California at that point, right. I believe. I don't think he was the current governor then, but there's just some great long-form interviews that Carson did.
And who could forget distinguished performers of such stature as Tiny Tim?
Tiny Tim, yeah, exactly. It takes us back.
Can we get some Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
We played a little Willie earlier.
We did play a little Willie earlier.
They did like my reference to Willie Nelson.
Nostalgic. You know, it's interesting conversation you guys are having. It's not an issue for me because, like, I'm in bed by 8 o'clock. So.
We should be.
We should be, yeah. Oh, that's why I have a DVR. So nice.
But that does raise a real question. It's like, where do people learn things, right? Because you go to the different cable news things, everybody's screaming. You go to the late night thing, they're just trashing people. Where do you go to actually get real dialogue and
information? You go to the Mark Cox Speaker Series.
Mark Cox Morning Show, the Speaker Series.
That was a setup.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate that. All right, we got to get to another break, guys. Thanks so much for coming in this morning, and hopefully you can hang around, and we're going to see him tonight out at the Scheidegger Center, 7 o'clock. Be sure and get out there. What's the matter? You're waving at me.
Oh, I just I want to. No, no, no. Okay. That's like a may I speak. We've got an extra 30 seconds.
Oh,
here.
We do.
Told
you
that.
Okay. All right.
He didn't hear you.
No, he didn't listen to me. That's what happened.
That's normally we're you about, don't hold up five fingers.
No, I was
know
like,
what
hey,
you were.
Let me talk.
I've always appreciated about this show is it's such a well-oiled machine.
Aim to please, Jim. No, we're about to go live on Facebook. On the Mark Cox Show page.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. We're going to do that next. Go to 971talk.com/events. You can still get tickets for tonight's event. We're back in just a minute.
I think the reparations we need right here in South Carolina is investment, for example, in our schools.
Barack Obama back in 2007 wasn't a real big fan of reparations, but clearly they're all on board now. Every member of the Democratic Party on board now with this suddenly this new idea. I want to know if somebody could tell me, because the next time I go, I want to see it. Somewhere in Washington, D.C., there's a money tree. And all you have to do is apparently go out back and shake it a little bit when you're ready to launch some new bureaucratic way to waste taxpayer money. And that's exactly what this is, another great example of it.
I think I know Hans and Jim both live out there. So tonight, that'll be one of our questions.
Yes. Where is the money tree in Washington, D.C.?
Yep. And how do we shake it down?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, speaking of, and I'm going to get back to this issue in a second, but I read a story this morning where two people just died in Yellowstone National Park searching for treasure. Did you see that?
No.
Searching for treasure?
I thought so, this was the selfie.
So there's
I
thought it was selfie. Some guy named Finn is his last name, 15 years ago or something, went into the forest out there and buried a chest with gold and rubies and all kinds of stuff in it. And then he put out some cryptic poem about where it was, and he claimed that his purpose was to get people to enjoy nature and challenge themselves, and therefore he gave them the general area of where it was, and people take that poem and they go into these mountains looking for this gold. And these two people died. They fell or froze to death. I don't know what they did. They died. And a couple other people were injured. And the Forest Service has just issued a warning to people, like, you know, if you're going to do this, at least know what the hell you're doing, right? Because
sounds like a good idea.
There's no cell service out there.
I don't believe there's any treasure.
Well, there may not be. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's why, that was the reason why they supposedly were out there.
Yeah, I'm not buying that there's treasure.
You know, he's like, I buried treasure. Go have fun. Like, he's just sitting back, drinking whiskey, laughing to himself as people are freezing
out there,
and
yeah,
getting eaten by bears.
There's another story like that over in Europe somewhere. I believe it, I don't know if it's in Germany proper, but supposedly the Nazis pillaged and all this stuff. And there's a train car full of all of that stuff that they buried in a hillside somewhere back at the end of the World War II because they didn't want anybody to get it. And people have been searching for this thing for years now. And I just read a story the other day where they think they've found it, but they're not telling anybody the location because they have to get permits from the government to go in and search for it. If not, there'd be people digging holes all over the place over there, apparently. Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't.
You never know.
I don't believe the treasure is there.
Meanwhile, we're playing the lottery like we have a chance of winning that.
That's much more likely than finding that treasure, in my opinion.
You think?
Yep.
The odds are long?
I'm thinking either one are good.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I don't know.
The
other story,
call me a pessimist.
The other story you brought up.
You'll never win. You'll never be rich.
This is in I found this in the Daily Mail this morning. And I don't always take everything I see in the Daily Mail at face value. Some of the stuff's good. Some of the stuff's not. Some dude in Italy, a U.S. tourist, is in intensive care because he climbed up on one of these. They have a statue in every square. Every piazza in Rome, I swear, has a statue of some sort or of a carving or something. And this guy crawled up on one of them. Caveat, he was drunk, coming back from a bar at night to get a selfie, and he slipped and fell and hit his head on the side of the statue and is now in intensive care from trying to take a selfie. Now, that's not the surprising part, because I know that this happens all the time and drunk people do stupid things. This is the thing that surprised me about this, because we've recently heard of people falling into the Grand Canyon and other places like this and getting killed. According to this study, according to this report, the number of so-called selfie deaths has skyrocketed in past years. It's the number from last year that surprised me. I had not heard this. It says a reported 259 people died last year around the world trying to take the perfect picture.
And I think that that's low.
I agree.
Are there that many morons in the world?
There's more.
Yeah, that's why that number's so low.
Because that's the Darwin Award winners right there, 259 of them that I know of. Honestly.
Over a selfie.
Over a selfie.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. Hey, is Sue listening to us in there? She available? I can't tell if that X is
up
on the window.
Nope, the
hey,
X is
Sue,
down.
Hey, Sue, what's going on? We're so glad that you're back with us this morning.
Oh,
glad
thanks.
You're feeling better.
Thank you.
I still hear a little crackle in your voice occasionally.
Yeah, it's so much better than it was, though, Mark. Oh, my gosh.
It's all that celebrating the Stanley Cup win, you know?
I would have had that Monday if that were the case, right?
I don't know.
It didn't get me till Tuesday. Darn it.
I got to keep an eye on Hans von Spakovsky and Carafano. They're talking about they said they're really here to kidnap the Stanley Cup and take it back to Washington, D.C. I told him we're going to build a wall.
From our cold dead
hands.
That's
my official comment.
Jim was trying to make his own Stanley Cup. He's like, I need a piece of paper and some tape. And he was like trying to fashion a coffee mug.
I've tried desperately just to find a small replica of that thing that I could take to the event tonight. And they just, just not to be had.
You can barely find the shirts or hats or stuff anymore.
Yeah, they came down, right? The NHL did on Arch Apparel about having they had that shirt that said finally with the eye that was a Stanley Cup. Yep. They told them, nope. No more of that. So I think they really guard that image.
Yes.
I guess so. Well, I told you when I was at the parade the other day, saw a dude get busted for selling knockoff shirts right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And it was three people. They were dressed like tourists, and they told the guy that they were with NHL properties.
Oh, boy.
And what he was selling was a fraudulent, and he was violating the law. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't see them arrest him. They didn't seem to have, you know, zip ties with him that they were going to handcuff him with. But, you can get in big trouble for that. All I want's a hat. I still haven't found them anywhere. I don't know where they are.
And I bought some stuff online because I didn't want to, deal with the crowds at the store. I still don't have, thing.
Still
like,
and this
was,
back order.
Yeah, this was over a week.
Yeah, that's what I would do, Mark. Just order it online like Denise, and eventually it'll show up.
I know it will arrive eventually, but I'm still like, come on.
Someday you'll get one. That's fantastic. All right. Sue, glad you're back with us.
Appreciate
that. And boy, a little bit of a mess out there with 141 and all that stuff in traffic this morning. So stay tuned for that. Let's get to a break. 314-241-9797. There were some hockey awards handed out last night. So the celebration continues. And Mr. Tom Ackerman, sports aficionado, is going to be in studio with us when we come back.
I love you. I love you so much. I've seen you at so many places.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Tom Ackerman, I love you, man.
I've seen you in so many places. You know where I saw you today?
Where did you see me today?
On the highway. I passed you.
Oh, did you really? What? I wondered who was doing 80 on the way down here this morning. And it was Ackerman. I'll be darned. I was busy texting. I was doing show prep on the drive down.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It was a joke.
It's safety. A joke, folks.
What about the awards?
You were kind of getting into my lane.
Oh, was I?
No, crap. No, you were doing fine. You were actually going, right around the speed limit. I did pass you. And I wasn't really in a hurry. I was just having a good time. It was nice to get downtown and enjoy talking about a Cardinal win.
So yeah,
the Cardinals,
good.
You know what it's interesting about the Cardinals is that they had an awful month of May. Awful. And they have had so many critics and cynics and, this team and blow it up and blah, 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 blah. They're two games out of first. They are two games out of first place.
How bad is everybody else?
How did that happen?
Yeah, no kidding.
Because the Cubs and Brewers won't pull away. For now, the NL Central looks
tight.
Kind of mediocre. But those are some good teams right there, the Cubs and Brewers. So the Cardinals are benefiting from that, and they have kept pace. They're two games out. I mean, you could be in first place by the end of the weekend.
Wow.
Now, Albert Pujols is coming in tomorrow, and that place will be electric. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere this weekend at Busch Stadium. It'll be like a playoff World Series-type atmosphere. It'll be awesome. It'll be great to have that back. It's great to have number 5 back in the house. One of the greatest hitters of all time, and the best hitter I've ever seen in person. Albert Pujols, incredible. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
Well, and I've seen the people doing coverage on his foundation that's still headquartered here. He still gives a lot back to the community.
Yes, he does.
And I don't resent him for the decision he made all those years ago.
I don't.
There may be people who do, but
At the time, I was upset because I thought that he would come back, but it's a business, and it's hard to keep a player on one team forever. And the Cardinals, as it turned out, made the right decision not to offer him a 10-year deal worth gobs of money like the Angels did. They gave him an offer, but he took the Angels deal for 10 years, $250 million. And, as it turns out, he was on the downside of his career. The first 11 years that he gave St. Louis were phenomenal. And he's been great for the Angels. Just because he's been able to achieve milestones and sell tickets, and he's a good man, and he's good in the community, and he'll go down as one of the all-time great players in baseball history. But you know what? The Cardinals won a couple of world championships with him. It's been a lot of fun, and it's going to be awesome to see him back. And I agree with you. I think those wounds have been mended, and I think he will get a raucous ovation tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome.
Is David Freese still with the Angels?
No, he's with the Dodgers.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. So he just moved down the coast. Huh?
Yeah. Moved down the coast. Went to the Pirates and then the Dodgers.
Oh, all right, good. Yeah. So let's talk about the Blues celebration last night. I know they handed some awards out. I told Denise earlier, not being steeped in hockey experience, I didn't understand how Jordan Binnington and Coach Berube didn't walk away with some kind of hardware last night.
Well, I'll explain it to you.
See if I was right.
The voters, the votes come in at the end of the regular season.
Okay.
So, you know, Craig Berube, all he did was take a last place team and turn it around into a playoff team in 3 months.
Less than 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what the heck?
That's Oh, no, not a last place team. The worst team in the NHL and turn it into a playoff team. So some people said, well, you know, the Blues just met expectations. They were expected to be a good team. Come on now. Craig Berube came in there and turned that thing around is what he did. He should be coach of the year. But they gave it to Barry Trotz of the Islanders. That was kind of an average team that he turned into a pretty darn good team. So you can understand, I guess, at the end of the regular season why some people on the East Coast would vote for an East Coast team. But as it turns out, Jordan Binnington was phenomenal. You know, he definitely should be in consideration for the Calder Trophy, and he was. But again, this is voted on at the end of the regular season.
Right.
The only one that isn't is the GM of the year is voted on during the playoffs, and Doug Armstrong still didn't win it, and they gave it to the Bruins GM. I mean, it's just, come on. So the only one who wins is Ryan O'Reilly, who was the Blues' best player. From beginning to end, when the team was at rock bottom, Ryan O'Reilly was still busting his tail. He was still a great teammate. He was in every game. He was playing great both sides. He wins the Selke Trophy as best defensive forward. So he made a lot of plays defensively to create offense and to get things going for the team. He missed out on the Lady Bing, which is for sportsmanship and performance. So the Blues went 1-for-5 on the awards. But so what? They won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
I mean,
that's,
you know,
the big one.
That's what matters.
That's all you need to say right there. They are the best team in the world. And now they come back around in less than 3 months and play more hockey. How do you like that?
Love it.
Is there an award?
Love it.
Yeah. Is there an award for best hat in a parade? Because I think O'Reilly would win that.
Oh,
he?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Chris Kerber said on stage, he said, you look like Zach Brown.
He did a little bit, didn't he?
He looked like the Zach Brown band.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was what a great time that was. Parade. I'm kind of, it just hit me a couple days ago. I'm a little worn out from that whole thing. But that was a wild scene on Saturday. Incredible scene on Saturday with all the fans down here, and they deserve every, that was about the fans, that was every little bit was about the fans. And I love the fact that the players made an effort within minutes of starting that parade to get off the floats and to go out and actually reach out and touch the fans and let them touch the Stanley Cup and take pictures with them. You just don't see that. Players usually, you know, will stay up in the float and wave as they go by. No, the Blues, I think, set a trend here. They are, and they are not going to let up on this party either. This Stanley Cup, this Stanley Cup's going to have some stories. Yeah. It's really amazing.
We think we're tired. Those guys have been partying for like 5 days straight now.
Crazy.
Longer? The Blues' 2019 playoff injury list was because of alcohol poisoning.
Oh,
right?
Goodness gracious.
Post game.
Yeah, how about that? Great. It is a short offseason, so they will actually be playing preseason games in September.
Tom, you're invited to the Mark Cox Speaker Series tonight at Lindenwood University if you want to come out.
Oh, yeah?
Got a couple guys from Heritage here. J.J. Carafano, Hans von
Spakovsky. What time does that start?
6:30, the doors open. 7 o'clock, we'll be out there.
Oh, terrific.
We will save you a VIP ticket.
Is that at the Scheidegger?
It is. This is the Scheidegger Center at Lindenwood University.
Very good. Great, great school.
Yeah, people could still go online and get tickets. So that's good.
Excellent.
Good.
What's that site?
Is that 971talk.com / events. Yeah.
Perfect.
You see her go like that. She doesn't like when I say forward slash. HTTP.
You're a very responsible highway driver.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
It's not every day a Jaguar passes me at 90.
It's an Audi. Whoops. Sorry.
Tom, thank you.
We'll see you
tonight at Lindenwood University.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.